From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners. It's delicious time here at the News OK.
Things have gotten very tasty in here.
It's time for the Top Chef podcast. I'm the food dude, Dave Cathy, along with my friends.
Greg Elwell.
And Carrie Coppernall.
Yes, big episode last night.
Dun, dun, dun.
2 weeks in a row where I feel myself rooting for all of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, even the ones I don't like, I don't want them to like, I mean, who was it that said, it's, you know, it was the little gnome creature who won. He's great. Is it Kevin?
Kevin.
Kevin, yeah.
Love Kevin.
Somebody, I read somewhere, he's someone said that they now just refer to him as young Santa Claus.
Hey, my favorite.
I'm not saying, hey, do you not like Santa Claus? What are you trying to say?
Well, you don't know him, Santa Claus. There's a relationship.
I know
there.
Him as the James Beard finalist.
There's that. But no, he was talking about how, you know, they're making this food for these guys who are their idols.
Yeah.
These are the people that inspired them to cook in the first place.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing you can do. So
I liked the quick fire challenge.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I loved the bottom three having to do an amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
One bite to save your life.
That's awesome.
I loved
Great
it.
Line.
And I
Great
knew
line.
What an amuse-bouche was.
Thanks to Top Chef.
Thanks to Top Chef.
Yes.
From a previous season. Yeah. I was really, really proud that I knew that. I was like, yeah.
We'll have to go back and get that lost audio from a couple seasons ago when we were all trying to figure out what was exactly.
I thought that was an incredible challenge. One bite to save your life.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That might be, that's right up there.
Yeah.
That's right up there, because when you get right down to it, having the pressure of having to make one bite for your whole career, wow, big time. So now let's talk about the good side on that.
Mm-hmm.
We had, the overall challenge was, what were they making? What was the actual?
Snails. It was,
that's right.
It was
escargot. I'm sorry. Yeah, making snails, which is great. And Daniel Boulud was the guest judge. Huge, huge name. Around the world. Mm-hmm. Huge guy. I mean,
not related to Baloo. Bear.
No, and so they start out with Daniel Boulud, and so already the stakes are raised.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the challenge is gonna be. He's got the bowl full of snails, and you know it's something he's really, really familiar with.
Yeah.
So make some.
I see, and this to me is like the potato challenge. Like, you are a fancy pants chef, you need to know how to make something with snails.
Here is my one issue with this, and the reason why I loved the amuse-bouche follow-up so much was because I'm sitting there going, you know, you can be a great chef and never have cooked with escargot before.
Right.
And I was, you know, Jennifer, who I think we all have agreed is while she's a little evil, she's probably in our pick for the top three.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I've never cooked snails before. And I was sitting there going, wouldn't that be just
horrible,
awful if they killed off one of the best competitors in this thing? Accidentally, you know,
exactly.
And so having that follow up made sense to me. But I don't know about you guys. I was like, man, who's going home?
Exactly. Yeah, I was really nervous. But you know, you were talking about how Jennifer said she never made it. Well, turns out she wins.
Oh,
or not wins, but gets in the top three.
Three. Yeah,
she gets in the top three, and so there you go. There's the perfect. That's why this show is really well designed now.
Yes,
they've really found what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
and they got somebody with a ton of skill and really good credentials. Give her something she's never cooked, which, hard to believe.
Yeah.
Right. And she nails it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that proves right there. Yeah, she should be there at the end unless something really bad happens.
I still hate her.
I'm starting to think she's pretty awesome, personally.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's an awesome chef.
Yeah.
I think she's a horrible human being.
I don't know about that.
Well, we'll get to the predictions at the end of the show.
So anyway, Kevin won with bacon jam. Never a bad idea.
I know. Well, now here's what
bacon
I thought interesting.
Did go one for three.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Bacon did not win all hearts last night. It was, you know, anything's good with bacon jam. Did you put bacon in this velouté sauce?
What's the matter with
like
you?
A lot of bacon?
Aren't
like
you
I think there was a snout floating in this thing. They kept trying to date the frog legs. That is how much pig you put into this belly.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, you know, I thought that the prize was sort of I don't know, like that he got to eat with them, which would have been awesome. But on the other hand, I mean, he's so talented. I don't know. I might want to cook for them.
That's a tough call. Oh. That's a tough call.
If you had immunity. If you had immunity.
If you and he did have it. Well, I guess my thinking is, this is a guy clearly who loves to eat. And it's one thing. I think the ultimate for that guy would have been if he got to spend a day in the kitchen with those chefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean that might have been that. There's your prize. But I think sitting there getting to pick their brains, have a meal with these. Yeah. You know,
it's tough. You know, luminaries. If you were a musician and you had a chance to sing a song for Paul McCartney and the ghost of John Lennon, or sit around and listen to records with them. Yeah. Both would be awesome.
Yeah.
But which one would you really, if you could only pick one, which would it be? That would be tough.
I know.
That would be tough.
I just thought it was a hard call, but he probably was like, yeah, I'll eat.
Yeah, I'll eat. And you know, and who knows how long that meal lasted. I'm sure it was more than a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of conversation that goes on there. And
I love that his face turned pink. Like neon pink. He's like, oh my god.
Here's a lovely contrast to his hair. I was very sort of moved. But who was the bottom three? We had Jesse,
Ashley,
Ashley,
and I think it's what's her face.
I really do.
I like her. She's sort of angry. And Robin. Yeah. Yeah.
My feeling on Ashley, and especially they showed it a couple of times during the shopping last night. But I turned to my wife and I said, is she shopping for the stuff to make a velouté sauce, or is she looking for the woods where she can take her big blue ox bay? Because she's dressed like Paul Bunyan.
And she's just as tall.
It's an excellent point.
But no, so the three of them had to prepare an amuse-bouche. And to be honest with you, Jesse, I thought hers looked the best.
Yeah.
Had the little, was that quail egg?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On some toast, and I can't remember what the
protein
was.
Hey, but you know what, though?
It looked great.
She's used the egg as a life jacket before. So
they're onto her.
Hey, we've seen this egg, Missy.
That's right. And so Jesse was unceremoniously sent home.
But her time was coming.
Yeah.
Well, and she was so kind of unrelentingly negative about, and that's why I thought Ashley could have gone too, because they both just seem
beating themselves up.
Yeah.
They seem out of their element, and I don't know that they are. I think they're probably both excellent chefs, but you know, but when this is one of those situations where you can think yourself out of it, and these people are consistently, they're looking around and they're going, "Oh, I'm not worthy of being here," and it's a self fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, no doubt. Because I would eat at that girl's restaurant based on the dishes that she's thrown out there.
Yeah,
you know, and without the stress, she makes interesting looking food. So I think, despite how badly she seemed to be taking all this, I'm sure she's been pleasantly surprised at the response that she's gotten. Because she came off not looking bad. She just, you kind of were rooting for her to come, you know, like,
I thought she was this season's Carla.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
But less Star Wars-y. Less looking like Jar Jar Binks.
That's right.
See, you thought she looked like Jar Jar Binks. I thought she looked like Dr. Beaker's assistant.
Well, we also uncovered evidence that she looked a lot like Johnny Rotten.
That's also true.
Anyway, let's stick to this season for just a couple of minutes, if we can, and talk about the final challenge, which was amazing. Add to Daniel Boulud, Joël Robuchon, who is the god
chef
of cooking.
Chef of the century.
Yeah, chef. That's you can't really, I mean, unless he lives to be 200 years old.
Right.
Well, yeah. And I was
pretty impressive.
I was trying to figure out, I was like, okay, so who names this guy chef of the century? It's actually kind of the French version of the Michelin guide.
Yeah.
And that's because he has somewhere in the neighborhood between all his restaurants of 20 Michelin stars.
Wow.
The second place, came in second in the Chef of the Century, had less than half that many. I mean, this guy clearly knows what he's doing.
He's so big he doesn't have to learn English.
That's exactly
right. He brought Emmanuel.
He did.
I brought my own translator because I'm a big deal.
Unfortunately, Joel would never be able to open a restaurant in Oklahoma because he would immediately be deemed illegal.
That's true. So.
Get out.
But
the challenge, you know, I thought it was a good challenge, I just feel bad for team challenges because you know that like you're relying, your dish relies on someone else. It's out of your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and I just like, I thought for sure that Ron and Robin were doomed. I was like, toast out. They're out.
Well, they Top Chef has learned what we know about Top Chef and is using it against us because they take this this conflict and they just keep highlighting it over and over and over again. And you're like, oh, I smell problem.
Foreshadowing.
Exactly. Now, what I don't know about you guys, in the bottom four, Matan and Ashley, and Matan tells the judges, oh no! That was her idea. And she didn't say anything. And
she's
I'm like,
Paul Bunyan. Can't use tracks.
I was shocked.
You were the one. You were the one who said no green goes in the velouté sauce.
I was shocked. I was shocked at how she was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I was
she's like, just over
is,
it.
I know, and I'm like,
I thought that's what she was going
on. Yeah, and I was like, this is the time when you were like, shut it, Frenchie.
That was you
and your Pamplona scarf from Spain.
Yeah, you're not Spanish, you're French, even though you can't make a French meal. Yeah.
I know, he should, I'm sorry.
How do you not win this one?
Yeah. This is
how
like,
do you finish in the bottom?
This is like if I am in a chicken frying contest, all right, in like Russia. I should win. I was just appalling. I just was
it
appalled.
Really was. I hated it. That was ugly. I mean, that was just ugly what went on there.
You know, and this is, I actually started thinking about why we're in the golden age of reality television. And it is because we have reached the point where the segment of the population who are now taking part in these shows cannot take responsibility for themselves. That is what makes it interesting. We did these shows in the 50s, everybody would be like, nah, my screw up, my bad. Apologies all around, I'm going home. Yeah, no one kicks me off, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like, no, it's him, no, it's you. So this was poorly butchered. Well, the knife did it? I don't know how to...
Poor Hector.
Yeah.
See, and here's the thing. Here's what... It bothered me a little bit about the challenge, but in the end... Okay, they give you classic French sauces and classic French proteins to prepare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No one said you have to prepare them classically French.
No.
Yeah.
And I which Hector, he should have used that to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about this is not my flavors. Well, look how Rick Bayless just won Top Chef Masters.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Take things that people are unfamiliar with, the things that you do, and apply it to these ingredients. That's all they are.
Yeah.
They're just ingredients. They have a list of things that's in it. Use
right,
it
right.
That, for what that you do. Said, I can't feel that bad for Hector.
That's his own fault.
Because, well, if you're on Top Chef and you cannot cook a Chateaubriand.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
or at least take the initiative to slice it up yourself and sear them off as fillets or whatever.
Yeah.
Buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
I knew he was going home. I really did. I knew he was going home when somebody said, you know, anybody out here at one of these cafeterias or one of these buffet lines could have sliced this better.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed a total lack of professionalism there. A, it was the easiest thing that anybody had to prepare. The whole thing, stick meat in oven, pay attention, then slice.
Flashback to steak in the deep fryer.
Yeah, exactly. He would have been more, and he
should have put the Chateaubriand in the deep fryer.
Yeah, he should have.
Why not?
Because it would have shown what he does, and whether they liked it or not, it would have been
At least go out doing what you do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe not trim all the fat, leave all the fat on, fry it, make a little chicharrón out of it, although they didn't like it last time. You know, so what? It's your food.
I personally enjoyed how they were like, please pack your knives and go. He just turned around and left.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that
was the first time I've seen anybody who just was like, didn't even say, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no.
That was
turn and left.
He knew.
He'd already
pulled their souls from their eyes, perhaps, and he was afraid if he opened his mouth, they would come out. Or he was just getting their name, and he's like, I'll be back for you in your sleep, all of you. I don't know, but yeah, that was very scary.
Prepare your souls because nom, 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 nom.
That's your challenge.
Yeah.
How am I going to prepare make these peace souls? With God.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. So, and on the other end, of the brothers Voltaggio, once again.
Was anybody else kept picking up the Voltaggio this? Jennifer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. This is she my, was digging.
Okay, here are my predictions. Here are my predictions. Jennifer and Michael Voltaggio are going to have an inappropriate makeout session. like
Hosea
and in that drunk what's her skank? Yeah. And and Brian Voltaggio is going to be my boyfriend. That's all. Those are my predictions. Brian Voltaggio is going to be my boyfriend.
My prediction is that Haley Glassman is going to leave John of John and Kate Plus 8 and start dating Jersey Mike from Top Chef because of his amazing collection of Ed Hardy shirts.
Jersey Mike, I've got to say, all he does is like, hey, Brian, good. What are you doing? Yeah. Can I do that too?
See, Brian's an incredible act of restraint. He made that entire meal.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And had he not won, it would have been
horrible.
Just completely.
Because they were like, well, whose idea is this? And you're like, Brian's.
And Mike is like, he goes, well, I mean, I did a lot here.
Slash, I just did what I was told
to do. Yeah, he pretty much told me everything to do, but.
I mean, remember, Jersey Mike was like, oh, I don't think it's growing. Maybe I should just make a regular Bernays. And he's like, no, slow down there.
Yeah.
Slow down their tattoos.
And yeah, he was going to throw it out. That was ridiculous. And of course, they loved it. I mean,
you're right.
And then the little trout, you know.
Although I wondered when they were talking about the deconstructed Bernays, if at one point he said, so if we mix all this stuff together, we get a Bernays in it. And I thought to myself, you know, that's the problem with the deconstruction. Is sometimes what you're really doing is just saying, you do it.
I don't feel like stirring.
Exactly. I don't feel like stirring.
It's exactly it. It's the Papa Murphy's type dish.
Yeah, take and bake Top Chef.
I am pretty sure that Jersey Mike is just riding the coattails of Brian.
Well, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, two weeks in a row.
Well, we need to get away from team challenges and back to the individual stuff.
It'll happen.
Mike is in trouble after that.
Yeah, that's true. And but
although he was in the top three on the quickfire, you know, I'm sure he's got chops, but more than not, it seems like the only way he gets up there in the finals.
The escargot was a little up his alley.
Yeah.
So I think that's what helped him. But no, I think he's a nice guy and all, but a lot of talk and he's going on.
I disagree with you on the nice guy.
I do too. You're alone on that, Dave.
Nice guy. A nice guy in that kind of, in sort of a
nice guy
kind of,
in the, I can't believe she's talking about her cancer, that's insensitive to me, sort of way. But yeah, no.
Other than that. He's a really nice guy. Really, I think after one look at Hector, he all of a sudden thought, I need to be nicer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I did feel bad. One other thing, just the Ron pairing. I understand, you know, that he's a little freaked out because she's all over the place. But at the same time, man, he was really not. Yeah. There are better ways to deal with it. I think
he was. I thought he was going to eat her at one point. I really did.
Well, she. I mean.
Or bust
that
through
would
a wall.
Kind of drive me bananas too.
Kool-Aid Man style.
She just talked to herself the whole time. She's talked to herself. She's like, I'm gonna do this. Should I do this? Yes, I'm gonna do it. And you're like, why?
Shut up, woman.
This is a radio show, lady. We can see you.
I know. Yeah, Robin.
What do you think? You're on the Top Chef podcast?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, what's a great place to be?
I think that Robin and Ron are doomed. I think.
Yeah.
Lorene is doomed.
Yeah.
Ashley and Ash, they're the ashes.
How much longer can Ashley, you know,
be angry the rest of her life?
Not die. I mean, the pressure is obviously just killing this poor woman. I mean, when does she not just say, okay, I'm done?
Yeah.
I'm bored.
That's what she did. Yeah. That's what she did at Judge's table.
And Collegio called it out, too. He said, no, look at her. When they had that exchange with Matan, she just pulled back. And that may have been what saved her.
Yeah.
Is that he said, I don't think this was her fault, but this is the time you need to learn to stand up for yourself because no one else is going to do it for you.
So you have one more week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, any opinion changes on our potential finalists?
If they could meld the Voltaggio brothers into one super Voltaggio, it can throw Jennifer over its tattooed shoulder and just walk away with this thing.
That may be what it comes down to, because with Kevin, he's so strong. I can't imagine he's going to do something.
I'm going to say Kevin, Jennifer, and a Voltaggio.
And it could be
Jennifer's
the
boyfriend.
Older Voltaggio, because the younger Voltaggio falls into Jennifer's web of lust and loses sight.
You really think lust? She does. She seems very angular to me.
Angry.
Like you try and kiss her and you get cut.
Well, there's no question
of
that.
She will shank you.
Yeah, she will. And then you'll.
I meant with her cheekbone, but yeah, whatever.
Well,
so that's it.
I think we've pretty much run out of things to say about it, other than we'll see you next time.